I like to link those words, perspective, with 100% responsibility and commitment. Because commitment, you know, it's a mix of obligation and motivation. So once I did the questions about your future, like, Kate, tell me about your future, your ideal situation. Then that ideal situation starts pulling you to the future. You started feeling new feelings. So that motivation is what makes the commitment possible.
From our studios in Cuenca, Spain, I'm Kate Jetmore with The Listen, exploring the subtleties of culture and compassion in every conversation. I'm thrilled to be back after a long hiatus and particularly excited to share why I've been away from the show for so many months. I have been completing my training as an ontological coach, and on season 22 of The Listen, we're going to focus on just that. Ontological coaching, what it is, what it's like, and why it might be right for you. My guest today is coach and musician Emilio Arzuaga. After completing his studies and spending 15 years in the corporate world, he became certified as an executive coach. He also found a new focus, both personally and professionally, thanks to the transformational learnings of the coaching certification process. Today, he splits his professional time between coaching and music, and is developing his musical career in Spain and the US. Through his company, Optare Training and Coaching, he coaches a wide variety of clients, from corporate executives to artists and celebrities. He's also a teacher and coach at the Escuela Europea de Coaching. Welcome, Emilio. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hello, Kate. I'm glad that you invited me. I'm very excited.
I know. I'm excited to dig in because you were my very first coach ever. Before I even really had a grasp on what coaching is or could be, I, as part of my training, had a 3-session coaching process with you. So now's my chance to ask you, what is it like to coach someone who's completely new to the experience?
Well, I leave always the first session of every new coaching client. For me, it's really a gift because of the fact that I feel that I will experience connection and resonance with another soul that I don't know. And that's very, very powerful for me. So it's in the first session when I feel every emotion related to building trust, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's that's always very rewarding for me. Sometimes it's peaceful, easy feeling. Sometimes it's very intense. So it's like in the, you know, the movie Avatar?
Mm-hmm.
When the guy, the blue guy, the avatar, joins, when he links to the bird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's going to be forever. So it's something like that. So it's a mix of love, the need of each other, coach and coachee, to feel acceptance, you know,
mm-hmm.
To be accepted and to accept the other. So it's like loving and being loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something that we all have. It's like, I'm going to start a new relationship and we both need to be connected.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think that's why our coaching sessions were so successful from my point of view, because you and I are kind of on the same wavelength in that sense. Like, I go through life also like looking for connection and wanting to be present with other people. But there are a lot of people who don't operate on that wavelength. So what is it like when you go into a coaching session with someone who maybe has never experienced that or like known that it exists?
Yeah, Yeah, that's a great question. And what I do is like to prepare myself to be in an open, compassive, present and loving attitude. Like I need to be ready to meet someone that it's totally the opposite of me. Sometimes you as a coach, you can meet someone that it's your fan club president. But sometimes you will find someone which is totally the opposite. Mm-hmm. So that's challenging. So for me, what works is I'm going to meet a human being. And the human being that is in front of me, like you and me now, is the only person in the world that it's important. Mm-hmm. I don't judge. I don't compare one coaching client with the rest that I had. It's the only human being there.
Right.
And I'm open.
Yeah.
And when you are in that attitude, not only in coaching, everywhere, I think that life is better. Like,
yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can tell you from my point of view, from my perspective, it almost seemed like you were doing nothing in our sessions. You, as you just said, like your presence was just open and still, and you were just holding space for me. And I'm sure that, you know, it wasn't just me, like it was me because I was your coachee during that hour or 2 hours. But it was just simple as that. So here's my question. How is it possible? This is a huge mystery to me. How is it possible that just listening and asking questions and providing feedback, which is what ontological coaches do, how can that result in such a profound transformation?
Well, it's not that simple, but it's not that difficult. That's the good thing for a coaching student. Like, you can do that. First of all, to be listened by someone, to be understood, I would say those are the first or the more important needs that let people get close. Mm-hmm. So coaching is communication. It's a very special kind of non-violent communication. So it starts with listening. Mm-hmm. But if you remember, I took the first 20 minutes or half an hour of the session to focus. So I created a contest. I mean, listening can be therapeutic, but mm-hmm. if you don't focus the conversation, it will be not that effective mm-hmm. in terms of results. So the context and the agreement are so important, because mm-hmm. the coach listens to the client. The coach is there for the client listening, mm-hmm. but it's also listening towards the objective of mm-hmm. the client. Mm-hmm. You never lose the perspective that I agreed with the client that my listening would be towards the future that you described.
Right. So at the beginning of the session, the coachee states a very clear goal, right? A very clear objective. And the coach commits to accompanying that person and helping that person remain focused on the goal that they've stated.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So it's not only about listening. You know that sometimes when you don't establish a smart agreement of the coaching process and of the session, you're listening, but you're feeling like stressed because you don't know what are you listening for. Mm-hmm. It's like, should I talk about this thought of the client? Would it make sense? so you're lost. But if you establish a smart objective of the coaching process, and in every session, and a smart objective aligned to the objective of the process, then you know what are you listening for.
Right. Yeah. What I hear you saying is it's not just listening, it's focused listening. You're listening for something. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I always tell my students when they ask me to take notes, can I take notes? And I always say, if a friend of you tells you that he's gonna divorce or send his son to the United States for 5 years, whatever, and he's in a drama, do you really need to take notes? So it's the same. You just have to be there.
Yeah.
But in coaching, there was an agreement. Does it make sense?
It does make sense. Yes. Yeah. And I just want to restate something you said, because I think it's really important for people to understand about kind of the structure of coaching, which is that, you know, there's usually sort of a predetermined number of sessions, and there's something which you just referred to called the process goal, which is over the course of those four sessions, for example, three, four, six sessions. And then, but then within each session, there is also a session goal. And all of those session goals, it's like the steps you take along a path. Each step needs to be pointing in the direction of your final destination. And that's also what the coach does, is keep the focus tight within each session on that session goal. Now, I don't know how much you remember, because it's been a while since we had those sessions, but I was really having a hard time when you and I met. My head was just full of static and confusion, and I had this series of problems in my head that just, they all seemed impossible. Like, I didn't even know where to begin to sort of solve all of these obstacles in my life. But our sessions, my sessions with you as coach and me as coachee, just like windshield wipers, just wiped all that confusion away and just left me with this powerful sense of possibility. How does that work in coaching? What is a coach doing in order to lead his or her clients to that new perspective?
Okay. First of all, I'm so happy to see your smile and that you talk about the past.
Yeah.
Overwhelming feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that that's the gift of coaching. And it's very, very, I'm feeling so happy now just listening to you. Like, I can see the change. So that's wonderful. So talking about perspective. You know what? I think it's based on 100% responsibility of the client. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to explain myself. In Latin, responsibility means something like responsabile.
Like the ability to respond.
Yeah, like the range of responses available.
Yeah.
That's magic, because when I asked you to establish and maintain the agreement, you said, my agreement is this, I want to go that place in the future. Mm-hmm. And I will maintain thoughts and actions that I will need. So when I asked you that, you described your future. You painted it. Mm-hmm. So you know, Kate, that the future lives in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was to support you to describe more perspectives, more available responses in your future. So the word perspective means that something is seen from a certain point of view. So the first thing that the coach must understand is that coaching is about perspective in the future.
Yeah, and I think what I hear you saying is that so often in life we're stuck on one perspective and we think, well, this is the only way and this way is too hard or too expensive or impossible. And we think, well, since this is the only way and it's impossible, then I'm just stuck here. I can't do anything. And you feel like completely impotent, completely powerless. And what coaching does is it's like blinders on a horse. Like you remove those blinders and you look up and you realize, oh my gosh, there are all these different ways of seeing this.
Yeah.
So many different ways.
Yeah. I like to link those words, perspective, with 100% responsibility and commitment. Because commitment, you know, it's a mix of obligation and motivation. So once the coach, once I did the questions about your future, like, Kate, tell me about your future, your ideal situation. Then that ideal situation starts pulling you to the future. You started feeling new feelings. So that motivation is what makes the commitment possible. So what the muscle that the coach uses, what I did with you was using commitment and trust. So that helped me to give you feedback. Example, you said, I don't know if I should have this conversation with this person this way or the other way. I don't know. What the coach does is, okay, Kate, this is your future. This is the painting you painted. So what kind of conversation is more aligned with this future, this way or the other way? So you look at yourself in the mirror of the future you described and agreed to work, and you just have to choose the perspective that you will need.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember, I don't even know, I feel like this might not have happened in a coaching session because you also are one of my teachers. So I think this might have happened in a different context, like in a class or something. But we were talking about commitments and kind of describing an example. And you said, but what's missing? What's missing in what you've just described? And what was missing was a declaration, a statement. Because it's one thing to kind of think in a vague way, oh, wouldn't it be great if, or if only I had, if only I could. But when you say to yourself and to witnesses, you know, whether that's your husband or wife or your child or your best friend or your mom, when you say, I want to become a coach and I'm going to become a coach, or I want to be a musician and I am going to play music, it opens all these doors. It's so much different than just having this idea in your head that may or may not come true, you know?
Yeah.
It's so powerful to make a declaration.
I just wanted to add that it was in a class about vision. So what I said was, the future starts, the vision starts with a declaration. When you declare that in front of witnesses, then you already open that enormous gate.
Emilio, we're going to have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to continue our conversation with my guest, ontological coach Emilio Arzuaga. Back in a second. If you like what you hear on The Listen and you're interested in scheduling a coaching session with me, I hope you'll get in touch. Please reach out to me through our website at thelistenpodcast.com. This is Kate Jetmore with The Listen. If you're just joining us, my guest is Emilio Arzuaga, who's sharing his experience as an ontological coach. Emilio, in our sessions, I never had the sense that it was about you. All the focus was on me as the coachee. So now is my chance to finally learn a little bit more about you. I'd love to know how you came to discover coaching. Tell us about the path that led you here.
Yeah, okay. I have many times walked that path in my mind. And for me, it makes totally sense what happened. So I was studying the third course of my career in sociology and politics. And I passed through a personal crisis. So I went to therapy with a psychoanalyst, Argentinian. So it was good. I felt that I was supported and it helped me a lot. So I specialized in social psychology. Then I continued after the degree in a doctorate program in psychoanalysis. So I felt I could help people like my therapist had helped me. So, but right before starting the thesis, the PhD thesis, I quit because I realized I had lost the faith in the method. Like, how can I be? First of all, I will have to study psychology, and then I will be a psychoanalyst, but I will be in front of people doing something that I don't believe. So I started working in market research. Mm-hmm. I made a lot of friends. I liked the company because I was good in research techniques. But most of my work was about marketing. So I did I decided to study a master in marketing. And the more I grew on that area, the more I felt like empty inside. Mm-hmm. So I moved to Universal Music Spain. That's one of the monsters, multinational companies of the recording business. Mm-hmm. As a marketing manager, and I felt even worse. Yeah, I thought I was going to be a great... I thought it was going to be a great experience mixing marketing and music, but because I was a musician already. But the true story was that my product was a crossover, horrible, shit music. Mm-hmm. Like tenors, Pavarotti doing pop. it was horrible. The kind of CDs that you give in Christmas to the brother-in-law you don't love. I quit. So I felt farther and farther from my home, you know, like I feel like I lost my way. You know the song Against the Wind?
Yeah.
When it says I feel farther and farther from my home. So I started working in a human resources company. It was like a consulting company. I had a great salary. Finally, I got to be a partner. But I felt even more confused, like, of my professional path. Like, another change. I don't understand where I'm going. So that was when I asked my dad. He was a coach. So but I didn't know really what he was doing. So he said
it was just his job.
Yeah, he had been a high executive of Renfe, like very high executive and high executive on Pricewaterhouse. But It was in his last period of being professional. He was old, so I didn't really know what was that. So he said, just go to the Escuela Europea Coaching and it will be helpful for you. It's going to be transformational and it's going to be another profession. I didn't understand a shit.
But you did what he said.
Yeah, I followed his tip. So then all my confusion, sadness, negativity turned into focus. Like in the song Lonely, Lonely Nights. It brought back the light to me.
Yeah.
So I finally reconnected to the need that I had quit when I quit psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
I could reconnect with that. Not only because I had been helping companies through marketing, but coaching meant helping people.
Yeah. Your process sounds so similar to mine. Like I just felt so confused. Like I had this big sort of tangle of thoughts and ideas and plans and no focus. No focus, as you said. And through the coaching process and through the coaching training, I feel like I've come home. That is such a good way of putting it. I wanted to ask you, I think you've already answered this question, but I was wondering if after you discovered ontological coaching, if there was ever any doubt in your mind that you would make that big change in your professional life and begin to practice in this new field. Did you ever feel any doubt or was it clear from the beginning?
For me, I never had any doubt that this was home. This was the profession I wanted to practice forever. Mm. I passed through better or worse periods of having enough clients or not having enough coaching clients, but I was so focused on this is gold for me. So I want gold. I will look for it wherever it is. And the online world, it's amazing because your client can be everywhere in this world. And if you speak, the more languages you speak. So I never doubted that this was my place. I just asked for help.
That's key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about, so when you had those moments of doubt or difficulty, I'd love to know what kinds of projects you developed. Like, how do you practice as a coach now? What path have you blazed for yourself? And also, what does the future hold for you as a coach?
Okay, so the first question, I remember when I passed through my first coaching session with my coach, at the Escuela Europea Coaching, I clearly remember that I had an insight. Like, okay, I'm working in this company, but I can, to bring money, I can invest, I can play music, I can keep working in this human resources company, but as soon as I certify, I will offer my clients coaching, so I don't have to only be a coach. So I play music. I represent a brand of harmonicas, a German brand of harmonicas, as artist and also sales manager. So because I love the harmonica, I love music, so that's another part of my incomes. So what I mean is that, if at the beginning a coach can't be full-time a coach, do whatever you can until you have more clients.
Right. And also, like, it seems like the goal is to find joy in your life, right? And if you're crystal clear that finding joy in your life means I only want to work as a coach and I want to use all of my available time as a professional to coach, then that's a clear goal, right? But if there are other sources of joy in your life that you don't want to give up, you don't have to give them up.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. It makes sense. So the second question about my future, my vision is to become a master coach.
Mm-hmm. So, and what does that mean? What is a master coach?
So master coach in ICF, International Coach Federation, there are like four steps of certifications. The first is the ACTP. Mm-hmm. When you want to get the license of practicing coaching, then ACC is the first 100 hours. Mm-hmm. Then PCC, Professional Certified Coach, is the first 500. And Master Coach is the 2,500 hours. I must be around that.
You're getting close.
I'm getting close. Close, and I think 2024 will be the moment, because I want to pass through the level 3 course. Level 3 is a course for coaches that want to become MCC. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal. Not only because you can your rate is higher than PCC or ACC, not only because of money or prestige. For me, it would mean like a self reward, like after 13 years of coaching, it's something symbolic for me, like it's like a ritual of transformation. My reconnection, my inside assistant, substituting my inside judge.
Yeah.
My self-compassive conversation. So it will be like a celebration of a lifestyle, of a path of transformation.
Like, do you think you'll actually celebrate?
Yeah. I don't know what kind, but I will. I will. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting.
I need to think about like a ritual of celebration about that, because for me it's very, very, very important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll bet there'll be music at your celebration. Am I right?
Thanks for the beautiful idea.
Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you more about that part of your life, the part of your life where you're a musician. So we'll be right back with my guest, ontological coach and musician, Emilio Arzuaga. If you're enjoying this episode, check out our season 10 interviews with nutrition coach Jen Pendleton and voice and speech coach Lauren Lovett. You can explore our full archive by following us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or Spotify. There are dozens of interviews waiting for you there, all free and easy to access. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and be sure to join our Facebook group, the Listen Podcast Community. And if you'd like to make a donation to the show or pitch a guest, you can do so through our website at thelistenpodcast.com. We're talking with my guest, ontological coach and musician, Emilio Arzuaga. Emilio, before we go on, why don't you let our listeners know where they can find you? And we'll be sure to include all those links in our show notes as well.
Sure. Okay. So my company is called Optare Training and Coaching. So they can find me in www.optaretc.com. I'm also on LinkedIn as Emilio Arzuaga, also at Escuela Europea Coaching. My music is in all platforms as Emilio Arzuaga and the Mad Reeds. The record is called I'm Here to Stay. also Friends of Lazy Lester. Their record is Lazy Lester Forever. Mm-hmm. I also have an artist page in the German harmonica brand Seidel, so they can see the link of my artist page. And I'm in Facebook as Emilio Arzuaga Coaching. I don't really use that page too much. And I'm Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, we will put all those links in a place where people can access them easily. Okay, so music. We have to talk about music. This is something that you and I have in common, a passion that you and I have in common. And I've actually heard you say on more than one occasion that there's some common ground when it comes to your passion for music and your passion for coaching. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. We both know what we're talking about because we have played together.
We have played together. Hopefully it won't be the last time.
Yeah, I hope. So both coaching and music are communication, are connection, harmony, passion, vibration, whatever you want to say. But so both make me feel the same feelings. In both activities, I need to put my body as a resonator, my feelings and my brain in the same frequency, like presence. So both activities challenge are a challenge, but a good challenge.
Yeah,
I like it. So I feel strong sensations thanks to the harmony, you know, the synchronization, the vibration, the resonating. So yeah, when I play music, I play for the music, for the harmony, also for the people I play with, and for the audience, and it all comes back to me. So it's it's like the feedback with the client. It's like a nice conversation when there is connection.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like what you're saying is that when you're coaching and when you're playing music, you are fully alive. I remember, I don't know if you knew this, but I went to acting school. My degree is in theater. And I remember on the very first day, so we were all like 18 years old, and we went around in a circle and our acting teacher asked us, why theater? Like, what is it about theater that you love? And I remember a friend of mine said, he said, when I'm on stage, I feel like I'm fully alive and fully communicating with all the other people on stage. There's this amazing energy. And he said, the audience is secondary. He said, they're just witnessing this energy zinging around on stage, which that image has always stayed with me.
Yeah, I like that perspective because there are musicians that are doing like a theater for the audience.
Yeah.
And it's like plastic. No matter they are technically incredible, but when they are playing for the audience, it's like artificial.
Yeah, instead of them sort of embodying the music and experiencing the music themselves.
Yeah. I have learned from great musicians, my heroes. And what I see is that they can be in a bar in front of three people or in a festival, but talking to the audience like if they were in that bar, like being natural, always, never doing like an artificial show.
And that is presence.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes down to presence. And that actually brings us back to the subject of coaching, which is also about presence. And I'm curious if you feel like when you're on stage or when you're in the studio or rehearsing with your fellow musicians, do you feel like that helps you to be a better coach for your clients?
Well, the question is interesting because you started saying presence, and it's also present. The music, the live music, well, when you hear the music, is in the present. Mm-hmm. And the more I put myself in front of the audience to play music and to feel natural, to be myself, accepting how good or bad musician I am in the present, the more I do that, the more it helps to be in the present, in presence with the, with the client. And the more I coach, the more I teach myself, or the more I learn to be in the present and feel natural in the stage or on stage. Like, okay, there's nothing. It's only people are there to listen or not listen, but I'm here to play music. Not a big deal.
Yeah. It sounds like both of those parts of your life that are both so important inform each other and help you grow in a way that you become, you know, a better musician, and then you're a better coach, and then you're a better musician. Like, you know, they feed each other.
Yeah, and I think that above that, it's because, how would I say, that it makes sense in my body. It's like nutritive.
It like feeds
both
you.
Activities are yeah, they feed me. So it's all about that.
Yeah I totally agree. And we could go on for another hour, but we're actually gonna need to wrap up soon. But before we do, and I only ask you to do this because I know how much you brought to me in our coaching sessions when I was just discovering coaching. And I'll take the opportunity to say thank you, Emilio, because that was really, having you as my coach was a really life-changing experience. So thank you. And I would love it if you could share some words of encouragement or advice for anyone out there listening who might feel that maybe things in their life aren't working as well as they used to, or as they would like them to, maybe feeling the same kind of overwhelm that I was feeling when I met you. Any words for that listener?
Well, okay. We all have problems, pain, mornings, and sometimes we lost hope. That's we're humans, or we sometimes live in automatic mode, like in a vicious circle, like more of the same. And sometimes we think that our future doesn't exist out of us, like I can't have the life I want to have. But, you know, we've been talking about this. The future only exists in my conversation about my future. So maybe this...
Can you give some examples of that? What you mean by that?
Yeah. I don't know where is the future. I don't know what is going to happen in 1 hour. So it only exists the present. So if my conversation about the future is negative, there are no available responses. If I think that, I'm closing all the doors. So just think, I just wanted to send the message to the people. The future just exists in the conversation that I have about the future. And I can change that conversation. So I don't want to send like a positive message like, you can do that. Everything is possible.
Everything will be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Think positive. No, but just think. The future just exists in the conversation that you have about the future. And you can change that conversation.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about, and I talked the other day with Fiona, and we talked about the word conversation and how when you first hear the word conversation, you think, oh, well, that's when you speak to other people, you know? But it's also the conversation in your head, which sometimes is even more powerful than the conversation you're having with other people because it's constant. You know, it's waking up at 3 a.m. What are the words in your head? That's your internal conversation.
Yeah. That's what I like to explain to the people that criticizes or don't understand coaching. To the people that say, but coaching is sometimes philosophers or psychologists say, no, but coaching, it's manipulating people, saying people that everything is possible, that you have to be positive and you don't accompany the mournings, the pain. No, we accompany the pain, the feelings, but coaching is about learning resources, developing your own resources to connect with the conversation that you need.
Yeah.
That's the power or the value that we have. We're not wizards. We're just experts on work on the conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Simple, but at the same time, deep and powerful.
Profound. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Emilio, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a great conversation and a real pleasure to learn more about your experiences. And I want to wish you all the best.
I wish you all the best, too. I hope we can play together music again soon. And I'm really, really, really glad and grateful to have been invited by you. It's very special for me. And to see that wonderful smile and to hear that you're better and you feel better and you're in the path that you want to be.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
When you said, I'm home, I felt great. Because not always coaches have the opportunity to meet the client in the future and see what's going on. So thank you.
Yeah, we're lucky in that way. I also feel really fortunate that we're in touch. So yes to playing music again. Thank you, Emilio, for coming on today.
Thank you.
Next time on The Listen, we'll be joined by Fiona Tucker and a guest coachee who will be engaging in a coaching session and providing a practical sense of what ontological coaching is really like. Hope you can join us. The Listen podcast is produced and recorded in Cuenca, Spain, where the buildings surrounding the city's main square feature brightly colored facades. I want to thank Lucas Munoz Jetmore, who makes sure the show is ready to go each week. I'm Kate Jetmore, and this is The Listen.